Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I have Kylie Leota with me today, and Kylie's life work is to empower people of all ages so that they can develop the confidence, skills, and tools they require to live a life of their design and purpose. She believes that everyone has the knowledge within themselves to create success and gives you the right tools to help you make these goals and ideals a reality. After 20 years in the education sector, including leadership roles at both school and regional levels, Kylie has a proven track record of working with clients of all ages to empower them and create a positive impact. Further than that, just the education sector, Kylie continues to work collaboratively across sectors, including complex needs, traumas, and early intervention, as well as the transition to work sectors. Kylie's depth of experience and knowledge means that she is adaptable to any industry. Kylie, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you and just to hear your journey, because I would love to know, what got you here today? What was that journey like for you? If we can just dive into it right now.
Yeah, I think my journey was a little bit maybe unique, I don't know, to other people's journey, because I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be sitting here as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, because from when I was a little girl, I always just wanted to be a teacher. So I wanted to be a music teacher. Apparently you have to have musical talent for that. So we went somewhere else, and I was PE. And then I started feeling really passionate about empowering young people from a very young age. And so I always wanted to be that helper and that support. And so I started out my education degree in special education. So working with really complex young people that had maybe had some really negative experiences on life. And I started off in one of the most complex schools in our state, where every day was just very interesting, very chaotic, and very full on. So then over my education career, I transitioned to different roles. And so I went from working in really complex schools in like special schools, we call them here in Australia, into primary and secondary, and then regional office. And then I was a deputy of inclusive practices. So, you know, the kids that were on the roof, or the kids with the knives, or the, you know, all of that kind of stuff, but really showing them how through holistic well-being and taking care and developing their understanding of self, that we could change that trajectory for themselves. And Susan David talks about in her book, Emotional Agility, she talks about the function of behavior. In education, in my area, we've been doing that forever, and looking at what people project on the outside doesn't always match what's on the inside. And when we get to the bottom of it underneath, then we can actually make the real change when we can unpack that story for them. And so that was really important for me, because as I started to, you know, as like I said, in education for 20 plus years, I moved into out of inclusion into mainstream deputy. And then interestingly enough, I actually injured myself. I would love to say that I actually did something really like really cool, like kung fu moves or whatever, but I had a young son and he was in bed, and I rolled over one day and just did something. And I spent the next 9 months in rehab, trying to figure out what was wrong, all of this stuff. So all of a sudden, this life that I had been doing for 20 years was no longer necessarily a viable option for me, because they didn't really know what was wrong with my neck. I worked with complex kids, right? So occasionally that involves ducking and weaving. So that meant that I had to start to think about what I could do next. And that was the first time, because I was an education lifer, you know, that was my plan. So then I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And the thought process went in, what are all the aspects of the job that I love that I currently do? And, you know, Simon Sinek talks about know your why. And I'd always thought it had been to be an educator. That was my why. But really, going back to what I subconsciously knew as a young person, it was about empowerment. And what I loved was empowering people that didn't believe in themselves to create success along the way. And I used to love it doing it with my kids. I used to love doing it with my staff. I used to love doing it within the leadership team and building that capacity for them to see the greatness in themselves to create the opportunities that they wanted in life. So then I was like, oh, how do I do that? And so from that, I transitioned into this business where I get to do that on a daily. So I get to do every aspect of the job that I love and none of the stuff that I used to hate, which was like timetabling and all of that kind of stuff. It's not my favorite job in school land, but, you know, so I get to do every aspect of that every single day. So I get to support leaders, be the leaders that they want to be. I get to help, you know, people that want to be the best parents they want to be. I get to help people that are got a new complex team dynamic grow from dysfunctional teams into high performance teams. So I get to do every day, I get to show up and walk in my why, and I get to live the life that I absolutely love. And that just gives me energy every single day. I just love it.
Oh my gosh. Yes. There's so much to unpack there, but I just have to say, I love the fact that you worked in special education. That's what they call it here too in America. My mom taught for 33 years in special education. Mm. So I have a very soft spot, and I know how difficult it can take the toll on somebody in general doing that. But I love that you went back to the core of what you truly love doing, which was the empowerment piece. And I know that's a huge aspect of this channel, and just being able to empowerment in general is something that I love, but also being able to have women like yourself on here that are doing that work in this world. I know you're in Australia. So it's across the world, but being able to really empower all types of individuals, all walks of life. And I'm curious, when you started to transition, because you were kind of forced into that because like, what am I going to do? And that's what started your journey. How was it to transition into that when you started really like looking at the subconscious of what you wanted to do to now? I'm curious what that looked like for you.
So initially it was, if I'm being completely honest, probably a little bit scary because it wasn't until I unpacked it a little bit, I realized I was actually quite institutionalized. Education is an institution, right? Mm-hmm. And so I grew up and I knew when I went to work, I knew what I was doing, that I'd come home and these are the work and all of this kind of stuff. And I also added to that, I'm a single mom of three kids. So for me to take that leap from this secure income to this potentially not secure income was a massive leap of faith. And I was very fortunate that I had a best friend who used to sit there and say to me, you've got this, you know, and every time I'd have my little panic attacks about, oh my God, what am I doing? She would make sure, you know, go back to basics, go back, what's in your control? What do you need to do now? What do you need to focus on? What's the next step? Instead of feeling really overwhelmed by this vision that I was creating. And I'm so exceptionally blessed because I had a really good relationship with my families and schools, really good relationship with my staff. The transition, because I was a relational leader anyway, it was all about the people for me. And then what has served me really well was my special ed background, because I can go into a room full of leaders and I can tell who's masking and who's got a particular front on, because I'm really good at reading that function of behavior behind the actual behavior. So I would come in and I'd say, you know, something about, you know, I'd share some insight about, oh, you know, what do you think about this? And they're like, how do you know? And I'm like, well, you know, been doing this particular thing for it. So I was very fortunate that despite how scary it was, there was a part of me that needed to back myself and take that leap of faith and to, you know, that as Brené Brown talks about, that courage over comfort, and recognize that the reason that, you know, and if I was truly honest with myself, the last couple of years of education, we know across the world universally, and I know in America, education is at a crisis point. Yeah. And so if I was looking at why I went into education originally, which was empowerment, to what I felt that I was actually delivering, I didn't feel like it was necessarily aligning to my true north. But I was comfortable, right? So it was familiar to me. I was financially okay, you know, when I've got raising three kids of my own and things like that. So I was stuck in comfort. And I think I often talk about comfort not being necessarily happiness. I talk about comfort being familiarity. And so being able to shift from that And then I got to the point where probably, you know, the universe is, got a really great sense of humor. So probably wasn't as satisfied in my career as much as I had been in previous years. And so when I injured myself, it was like the universe going, well, I've tried to be subtle and you're not listening. And so here, let me knock you over the head and actually make you force you to have that conversation with yourself. So, you know, having some really honest conversations with myself, which is not always fun, you know, they're not the ones that we try and run away from sometimes, but having that kind of stuff was really powerful for me. And again, putting those ducks in a line, you know, because I was a relational leader, when I started to reach out to people and share what I was potentially thinking, they're like, oh, I know this person for you. Oh, you should do this. So that started that journey for me. And every time I got a new client, that just built my confidence just that little bit more. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do this. And I also realized that what I was doing was coming at a universal cost to my health. And that was then having a flow-on effect to my relationship with my kids, my ability to show up. Like I was coming home tired, frustrated, and, you know, there's no one there to take the load for you as a single parent. So I needed to recalibrate myself to be the best mum that I wanted to be. And I didn't, you know, again, having those really honest conversations, probably not always been. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my kids were clothed, they were fed, they were, you know, had shelter and they were doing all their activities, but I wasn't having those deep conversations and relationships because I was just so damn tired all the time. So being able to recalibrate into a job where I can actually craft that for myself. So I get to go to gymnastics tournaments, I get to go to athletics carnivals, I get to do all of those things that are really important to me, was that driver to step out of that comfort zone. And I think, you know, the motivation to do something has to be greater than the fear of not doing it, you know, to stop yourself from doing it. So my motivation became that driver for me to push myself, even though I was scared.
Yes. No, you brought up so many great points. And just to go back to that friend, what a great friend that you had that was helping you, that voice of reason saying you can do this, because I think it's that support system when you are doubting yourself or all the outside noise that might be creeping in, and being able to counteract that and have that like strong person next to you, like, you got this. I'm really glad you had that person. Yeah.
And particularly as a single mom, like, you know, people have a not necessarily malicious, but they have judgment on what you should or shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge risk for me to move into my own business. And people had fairly strong opinions about that. And so, but I guess going back to that inner circle of who's had my back through my life, and this friend has been that person, good, bad or ugly, she's been always there to hold space for me. And that was one of the major keys to get me through that transition.
Yes. No, and you're absolutely right, because there are people that are going to have judgments. They're going to have opinions, and not allowing that to judge your or cloud your judgment of what you're doing, because it's something bigger than you and helping so many people that you might have not been able to help if you were still doing what you were doing prior to that. I'm really glad that you did move forward from that, because it can be challenging. It's not easy just running your business, especially if you're on your own. And having three children as well, that's significant. And it just shows the empowerment you have within yourself and how motivated and driven you are to accomplish what you have. And I think it's so beautiful too, when you started talking to people about it, using your network that you had of like, hey, I'm thinking about this, and being able to plug into that and build your confidence once you kept continuing to get clients as well. Because it's scary. It's scary starting your own thing. You don't know. And especially like the education system, like I grew up in the education system too. And not when you are kind of institutionalized for that, once you go into the 9-to-5 world as well, even if you're not in education, but something else, nothing wrong with it, but it's that mindset and you have to really change your mindset. So I'm curious, what was that part like for you? Like moving out of the education sector into your own business, like how is that mind shift for you?
Yeah, well, a funny story I was just sharing with someone this morning. I said, when I first moved out of education, I remember this distinct day that I decided I was going to go paddleboarding on a Wednesday and feeling like I was truanting from my job because I, again, so institutionalized into school day. Yeah. And I can remember sitting there going, like paddling, going, oh my God, I hope no one's watching me. And I'm like, I can do this. I'm allowed to. I'm actually not doing anything wrong. And So I really had to, you know, they talk about the term unschooling of kids that are in the education system. And I had to institutionalize or unschool myself into a whole heap of things. So creating my own structures and routine was probably one of the hardest, because I 20 years I'd had a structure and routine, right? So that was probably one of the hardest things. And my friend said to me, the voice of reason, she goes, you know, you can make your own routine. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, doing that kind of things like that, that probably that finding that balance for me. So because when you first start your business, you probably have a little bit of fear around scarcity. So finding that middle ground of how many clients in 1 week is too many and how many is too little was a bit of, because I have some underlying health as a result of my injury, that's really important. Because if I overcommit and the people pleaser in me likes to not to say no to anyone, I could burn myself out pretty easily. So learning to practice compassionate boundaries around myself, around my schedule, and not answering emails and text messages at 9 o'clock at night, and, you know, having work hours and, you know, being a bit flexible in that, but this is what was going to be okay for me. That was a really key pivotal moment for me, because again, in education, the boundaries, well, let's be honest, they're not really many. Yeah. You eat, sleep, breathe it. So it's really, yeah. So the education system thrives off people that don't have boundaries, because, you know, that's how it works. So that was almost like a learning for me, was figuring out what that was okay. And, you know, I know a lot of different business owners, and some of them are doing, you know, ridiculous amounts of hours, and some of them have got a different balance. And I think, you know, one of the things I talk about is we wear business like a badge of honor, and we've normalized that being like overly like busy. And I can remember, you know, saying to a friend the other day, going, oh, I haven't even been to the toilet today. But almost like I've been so busy. I haven't even, and I'm like, that's not even a good thing. Like, that's a terrible thing. But we have normalized in our systems that that's actually being busy is being good. But we're so busy being busy that we miss the core stuff. And so really learning that compassionate boundaries for myself about kindness around, you know, this many hours a week is actually good for you. It's a good fit. It allows you to show up more fully and present to your clients. Anything past this many hours starts to impact your quality of delivery. And that's not a good thing, because the integrity that you have in yourself, you start to mess with your own head, right? So finding that, so compassionate boundaries, scheduling, and just that permission that, you know, if I want to go to do my grocery shopping at lunchtime on a Wednesday, I can actually do that without feeling guilt. So a lot of that kind of stuff was probably some of those hard learnings that have taken me a little while to get my head around.
And those are all fantastic points, because it's a lot of things I talk about as well, because I do think too, boundaries are so key. And you're right. Like, when you have the qualities of a people pleaser, and I'm a recovering people pleaser. But like set, we're there.
We can have a group.
Perfect. I'm sure I could get a couple people. Yep. but it is really challenging, because especially when you care so much, you love what you do, you want to be able to help people, but you're absolutely right. There's this badge of honor of being busy in the hustle culture, and just really being able to understand too, that isn't a great thing, because you're neglecting yourself and what you need. And I love that you tied in the compassion piece of boundaries and not having that guilt around it. It takes time to process that or really embody it if you've been doing it for years. But when we're able to really understand too that it isn't a good thing to be constantly busy, because we're not allowing ourselves to just have that creativity process as well. If we're always on the go, always having clients. I know, like when I was a therapist, I saw like 30 clients a week, and that was outrageous, because you're dealing with everyone's emotions and everything. Yeah, I thought I could handle it. Badge of honor. Oh, okay, I'm busy. You know, how to pay my bills. But I think too, it's an important piece when we're able to set those boundaries. There's an abundance. Clients will come, they'll go, but really being able to be true to ourselves and taking care of ourselves so we can show up so powerful for our clients. And that's what I'm hearing you say. You didn't say it exactly like that, but like just to summarize.
Yeah, absolutely.
So many amazing points that you made. And I think it really is that shift of going from where you're working prior to starting your own business and really thriving in your business because you were able to set those boundaries, to remove the people pleasing and just doing what works for you and having those breaks of like, oh, I can go to the bathroom. It's okay. Or I can go grab.
Always a highlight for me. Always a highlight for me when I can go to the bathroom anytime I like.
Yeah. You don't have to ask or have your class watched or something previous, however it works at your school or your previous school. But I think too, it's just, it goes back to really switching that mindset. And I'm curious, through creating your business and as it started to grow, what are some of maybe the bumps in the road that you experienced or like points where you're like, oh, I don't know, but you like learned a really good lesson from it?
Yeah. So, there haven't been too many occasions where I've wanted to throw in the towel and gone, this is too hard. But one of the very first things I realized, and it was probably a subconscious thing that really came to the fore for me, was I had a real issue with financial scarcity and charging clients, weirdly, because, you know, it's a service and a fee. So my block around that personal work of self-worth and my charging and costing and not underselling myself, but, you know, finding that middle ground, because I had a salary for 20 plus years. So I knew what I was getting and all that kind of stuff. And so knowing where that mark was, and then I had this real block. And I remember it probably took me about 2 months to actually invoice anybody because I was like, this is really uncomfortable for me asking for this. So I had to overcome. So first of all, that was just amazing. I didn't realize it was a thing until it became a thing, right? Yeah. So you can't, sometimes you can be really proactive and you know yourself well enough to know, hey, I know that this is going to be an issue for me, so I'm going to put some strategies around it. And then occasionally you just get hijacked by stuff that you didn't even know was a thing. And then you're like, you have to deal with it, right? So for me, one of the ways that I worked around that was, first of all, I had to acknowledge that I had a block around money. And then secondly, I am terrible. Like I've got a system to do it all, but it would take me 3 hours to take what it would take a bookkeeper 20 minutes to do. So, but starting out a new business, you're like, oh, I've got to save money. I can't spend money. And, you know, but I realized that return on investment was 1 hour of my time paid for 4 hours of her time. So, you know, what would take me 4 hours to do would take her 20 minutes. So it was actually good value for money for me to invest in that. So I send her an email saying, I've seen this client, this is the cost. And then she did the invoicing for me. So that removed that block that I had. So that was one of the very first ones that kind of sat me on my butt a little bit, was I didn't realize it was a thing, right? So moving through that was a really big one for me. Some of the other bumps is just around, probably still a little bit around that boundary stuff initially, was finding what that looked like. And so, for example, in education in Australia, I know it's not necessarily the same in America, but in Australia, we get paid for our holidays if you're a permanent staff member. Mm. So I could have some time off and still get paid, not have to worry about that. Whereas in your own business, no worky, no pay, you know, so yeah. That forward planning around how do I give myself permission to have a break? And what do I need to do proactively to manage that so that I'm not, again, falling into that financial story for myself around scarcity, around money, and not, you know, when am I going to take that break that works for me, that's not going to have a significant impact on my clients? And so some of that work. But what I found is probably the biggest blocker is my own self-perception of what that looks like, because people are actually pretty good. I have phenomenal clients. So if I say I'm actually unavailable this week, they're like, okay. But my fear of even projecting that and actually saying I'm not available this week was one of my biggest blockers, right? It wasn't ever them. It was the story I had told myself about what they might think of me if I didn't do that. So a lot of my own narratives, and I go back to being the author of my own story. So every time I find myself catching myself in one of those crappy narrative stories, I go back and go, okay, I'm the author of the story. What do I need to do here to rewrite that story? New chapter, what do we need to do moving forward? Instead of, you know, high expectations of self, which I'm probably comes with the people pleaser anonymous group that we're going to start, recovery group. But that high expectations of self is around not wanting to fail at anything. So not seeing, you know, that whole conversation about not seeing it as a failure, but seeing it as a learning. what was the lesson I can take away from this? Because it's only a failure if you don't learn anything from it, I think, you know. So if you can go, okay, well, next time I'm going to pivot and do it this way. So a lot of it really was my own self talk and self narratives that I had to just work through, as opposed to any super major stuff. But the money one was a bit of a shock for me that I had to learn to navigate around.
Yes. No, I think a lot of individuals struggle with that. I know I did in the beginning too, because it's like, well, I can't ask and like, I'm helping them. It's like that money factor, and it's really working through that. But I'm glad you were able to work through that and find a way that made sense for you too. And you touched on like just return on investment. Like when we're investing in ourselves, our business, it is going to grow. And it is scary, especially when you've left a position where you have the money coming in every however often you get paid versus based off clients or products or anything else that you have or services. But being able to really understand that and just go with it and be able to trust the process. And that's what I'm definitely hearing too, where it can be really scary, but it's trusting yourself. It's trusting that you're providing an amazing service and helping your clients, and that's going to continue to evolve and grow from it. It already has grown, but being able to do that. And I think too, a lot of people do struggle. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because you're not alone. I know I've talked to so many people that have struggled with that. And I think it's a really good pivotal point as well for when you are starting a business to understand that and just getting ahead of it. I love how you said that too. It's all right. You learned that it was an issue, but still like the other factors too. Understanding that you have to move through it.
Yeah. And just working to strengths. I think that so often when you start out as a business, if you're a solo person, you feel like you have to be all things to all people. Yeah. Now, I've really worked that there's some things I'm really good at, and there's some things I'm really not good at. So the amount of time it took me to get through those things that I wasn't really good at, not because I couldn't do them, but maybe they don't interest me or they don't float my boat. You know, so I'm a very, as I said, relational leader. So I love the one-to-one with my clients. I love that getting that change happening for them. Sitting down then and having to do my invoicing was like pulling teeth to me. I'm like, I need the people. So working to strengths was probably a really big key.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I think that's the beautiful thing, is you like learn a little enough to know that somebody's doing it right, and then you hand it off. And I think that's something like I had learned as well, but that's what I'm hearing for you too. Just being smart about it, what makes sense, and really playing to, like what you said, the strengths that we have and being able to focus on what we really want to do, because that's going to shine through and our time is going to be better used as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I'm curious, with maybe a recent client or so, or one of your success stories, do you have an example of something you've done to really empower your client recently?
So I've got a client that I've been working with for a few years now, and she's had two promotions in the time that we've worked together. And one of the things that she does that I'm so impressed with her now is, so when we first started out working together, she would literally close the door in her office, sit on the floor, like with her back to the door, and call me in like hysterical tears about things that had happened and things like that. Now I get these messages and going, I'm fine. This is just a brain dump. Just letting you know that I'm processing this. This is what happened. This is what I did. And this is how I've showed up. And this is how I've handled it. And her ability to self-reflect now is beautiful. And I love the fact that I am this safe and supportive environment for her. No judgment, that she can actually do that dump and she feels safe enough to do that. But she's actually finding those answers for herself. So, and she will often say to me, she goes, I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew you were going to ask me that. So before is that whole, you know, I guess one of the things I talk about is, in order to lead others, you first got to lead yourself. And in order to lead yourself, you've got to know yourself. And I think so often we have avoided that part of knowing self, because it's often really hard and confronting, particularly if there's some hard conversations we've got to have with ourselves. So when she first started, she used to get hijacked all the time by people saying stuff, and it wasn't necessarily bad, but her own perception of self and things like that. So now we've done enough work that she can now, you know, and she's now actually, interestingly enough, after two promotions, she's actually done a full pivot and is actually in the process of transitioning into her own business herself, because she's decided to do that. So full circle, she's just gone, you know what, that true north stuff for me. We've worked through that, and I did what I thought I wanted, which was those promotions. But you asked me ages ago, is this going to be enough? And she goes, I can now see that it wasn't. And she goes, I can now see what you saw was that I wasn't going to be satisfied in that position, and that, you know, now I'm going to pivot. And she's actually in that process of doing that. So that's from that leadership stuff. Yeah. So that's a client there. And then I also still do a little bit of little people coaching. So I've got little young people potentially on the spectrum and things like that. So one of my clients who is 9 rang me, got on the video call with me the other day. And he did he was doing his athletics carnival. And I said to him, how did you go? And he goes, Kylie, I was really nervous before my race, but you know that we've been practicing. I love and believe in myself. I just kept saying, I love and believe in myself. I love and believe myself. And I love and believe myself. And I just did my best. And I actually came first. And he just was beaming. Yeah. And that to me, you know, like I said, I do both ends of the spectrum, and they both give me such joy and empowerment, because I'm like, if I can teach little people when they're young, then hopefully they won't have to navigate some of the same challenges we're learning, you know. In my adulthood, I'm learning some of this stuff. And I often say to them, I'm like, man, this took me ages to learn this stuff, and you're learning it now. And they're like, oh, Jeff. Yeah. Chest puffed. They're all feeling really like, whoa, yeah, man, like I'm rocking it. And that is as equally empowering to me as doing the CEO stuff, when I get that insight, and I call it the aha moment or the oh moment, where the client, sometimes the leadership coaches are like, ooh, yeah, ow, okay, yep, had that realization, and then we have to work through that. So I get as much joy and love out of both ends of that. So yeah, I still play in both spaces. And I just love both. And I think they both teach me in both spaces. So what I learn here, I often use up here, and what I use in my CEO space, I then pair it back to where meet my clients where they're at. So yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. And I think too, it's really being able to meet the clients where they're at, but the fact that you can adapt and focusing, I love that it is starts with them being young too, because when they have that tool set of being able to use that as they get older, it makes it so much easier for them to be empowered and uplift themselves when they get to that CEO level or whatever they choose to do in life. And I think it's so cool to see, because you light up when you talked about it, because it just shows how much you really love what you do as well and your clients. And I think that's what it's about. It's about understanding too, taking those tool sets and giving it to every client and how it works for them, no matter what their background is, where they come from, how old they are, because we all, at the end of the day, are human. We have different perspectives, but we're all human.
So. Yeah. And I just talk about everyone's got a different lens that they view the world in. So having that self-awareness to understand that is your lens, and that's okay. Yeah. So what are the things that you need to be mindful of, and what are the strengths that you can use to capitalize on that particular lens that you use to move yourself forward in whatever that is, you know, the life that you're trying to create and craft for yourself.
No, absolutely. And I know, like, just even being a former therapist too, like being able to put myself in other people's shoes and understand what they're going through, because they or their perspective is different. Their upbringing is different, no matter how old they are as well. But I love that you're able to take that and really apply it to your clients so they can live their best life and have that confidence from the inside out, because I think that's what matters too, because we can look one way, but it's how we feel. And it seems like that's exactly what you're helping your clients do.
Yeah. And showing them the link between your thoughts and your feelings guiding your actions or your inactions, and that determines your outcome, right? So, you know, often we get stuck on the action result loop, or we get stuck in the thought feeling loop, and really helping them move from one space to the other to show that your thoughts and your feelings actually guide that action taking. And so if the actions you're taking aren't serving you, let's go back to the thoughts and the feelings that are guiding that decision-making at the moment. And how can we reframe what that needs to look like to take a different action? Instead of punishing yourself for not getting the outcome that you want, let's just go back and unpack again what that needs to look like.
Yes. And it's what you said in the beginning too. It's about like the core aspect of what's going on, finding out what's underneath all of that, because we can present one way, but internally it's completely different. And being able to unpack those layers, because we all have so many layers. Doesn't matter how old we are, we still have a lot of layers.
Yeah. And I think as adults, we actually find that even more challenging, because it's never been normalized for us to do that. So if you're the person that has anger management issues, you've only ever been dealt with as being angry, but right. What's driving that anger? And really sitting and holding space to actually unpack, oh, maybe I'm actually not angry. Maybe I'm actually really feeling inadequate in this moment and I'm projecting. So really, you know, so because unless you get the core right of what's actually going on for you, then the strategies you implement aren't going to work. And so then you feel like a failure because you're trying all this stuff and it's not working. Well, if it's not working, then we haven't got the core and that function right. And we need to just go back and revisit that and try something else. And I often talk about, you know, the movie Mary Poppins. And she pulls all that stuff out of her bag, right? I said, so I'm the Mary Poppins of strategies. So if this one, we just, you know, what about this one? Let's have a crack. If it doesn't work, well, Mary Poppins is back. Well, let's go until we actually find, and there's no right or wrong answer. There's just what's right for you, right? Yes. So figuring that out. And if your knowledge of the world is this small, then sometimes it's really difficult to move forward because you don't know what strategies are out there. You don't know what ideas are out there. So someone sharing with you some potential options, they're like, oh, so that expands your world. So that gives you more choice and control over your own life because you get to choose more options available to you.
So well said. And so I just have one more question before we get into the rapid fire questions, but what are some tips that you can leave with us today that have really helped you continue to grow your business, that maybe somebody that's starting out or maybe midway through growing their business that you could leave us with today?
Yeah. So tips in terms of growing my business is, I guess, staying in alignment with yourself. So being able to make sure that you're self-aware enough to know that you're working to your strengths. So sometimes, again, because we're fearful of that money side of things, we continue to push ourselves that aren't in alignment with our values. And that it just doesn't work out generally, but we get a bit stuck in, oh, well, I need the money. So if you can hold space and really understand what your core values are and continue to provide opportunities for yourself to show up in that particular space, then it generally flows better in my experience, and opportunities tend to present themselves when you do that. One client at a time. So I do a little radio segment called One Cordero at a Time, which in Māori means one conversation at a time. But I also talk, so that's the way that I deal with my clients, is one client at a time, instead of getting really caught up in I've got all these clients this week. My focus is being present right now for this particular person and showing up as the best version of myself in that particular space. But that requires me being grounded enough to recognize and be self-aware. I'm having a good day today, or I need to ground myself before I go into the session, and knowing enough about myself. So that's part of it. I think being open to different opportunities that you may not have considered. So sometimes we stop ourselves because we're like, oh no, I couldn't possibly. Well, why not? You know, even putting myself out for this podcast, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I know you got so many people sharing that they'd love to be part of that podcast. But if you don't ask, then you could actually never get where you're going, right? So the worst thing that could happen is that somebody says no, and then you're in no worse position than you actually are right now. So being able to put yourself open and say, and then if you put yourself out there and they do say no, well, at least you know, and then you can reserve your energy and put it somewhere else. So that was probably a really big learning for me, is that I was quite fearful in the beginning about putting myself out there because I hated the thought of rejection and the thought of people saying no to me, because I used to personalize that. Now I just see it as an opportunity. Well, now I know I don't have to waste my time and energy thinking about it. I can move over here. Or if it's a yes, you know, saying yes to opportunities that maybe scare me a little bit, because they actually drive me to show up even more because I'm putting myself out there, and again, choosing that courage over comfort, and just looking for opportunities wherever you're at. So I see, you know, I love to have authentic and holistic conversations anyway. And by nature, just by having that conversation, that has led to different opportunities for me. Like, I'm just doing some work at the moment with a lady. I was actually catching a boat, and we just started having a conversation. And from there, we're now doing some work together. And hilarious, universally, she actually missed the boat she was supposed to catch. So she was at the boat. I was at the boat. We just started a conversation with her daughter, and then that's led into some work. So, you know, you never know where opportunities are going to present themselves. So take the chance.
Yes, I love it. And I think that's so true. It's just being open-minded, because you just never know what could lead to what. It might not lead to something right now, but just being able to connect with amazing individuals. And just thank you so much, Kylie, for sharing your journey with us. It's been a pleasure, but we're not done yet. So are you ready for the rapid fire questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. Who is your hero?
Ooh, I probably have a bit of Brené Brown fan thing going on because I love, and I was listening to one of her podcasts where she's talking with her sisters. And what I love is the fact that she's so open and honest that even with all this knowledge and this understanding, sometimes it's still hard. And, you know, because sometimes people have this expectation of you that because you actually have this knowledge base that you're working from, which is greater than theirs, that you don't have these moments where it's actually really hard. And so I love the fact that, you know, she'll openly acknowledge, well, this was really crap today, or, you know, whatever, this was, man, this was some hard work. So I love that authenticity in the fact that you can have all of this knowledge and still find it difficult. So I love that about her. She's my hero in that space.
She definitely is one of my favorite authors. She's incredible. And I think she just has given so many people permission to be their true authentic self as well.
Absolutely.
So what motivates you to work smarter?
What motivates me to work smarter? So there's a quote by Glennon Doyle in her book Untamed, and it says, "My children don't need me to save them. They need to watch me save myself." And that for me is my motivation to work smarter, because I want to model for my kids what this looks like so that they know that they have choice and control over their own life. And that if they don't like something, they've actually got the power to change it. So, yeah.
Yes. Well said. That's a fantastic book. What if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
Ooh, my superhero powers. I think when I was growing up, I think I was considered one of those sensitive kids because I was pretty intuitive to people's needs, but it was kind of portrayed as a negative quality. Oh, you know, oh, you're a bit of emotional, or you're a bit sensitive. So I actually kind of think that's a bit of a superpower that I already have, because I'm really good at reading the room and really good at knowing when people are saying one thing to me and underneath there's probably something else going on. Yeah. So sometimes people get a little bit confronted by the fact that I actually go, "And so what are you actually thinking?" They're like, "Oh my gosh, how did you know?" I was trying to really mask that. I probably think if I had a power, it would be to just really expand people's ability to be compassionate to each other. I think that would change a whole lot of things in our world. If people could come from a place of compassion and generosity around people, other people's intentions, actions, and behaviors, we would repair much quicker, and we'd actually be able to move it. We wouldn't necessarily have the same level of conflict.
You are absolutely right. I completely agree with that too. I think people, if they were able to really understand what was going on for people and just having a little bit more compassion and empathy for one another, this world would be a very different place.
Absolutely.
So I wish I could grant all these powers too, but maybe one day.
Yes. Well, let me know when you do. I will.
On the list, number one. So if you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Oh, so Brené Brown, definitely. probably Simon Sinek. I have been really listening to some research recently on the Stoics, and I find them quite fascinating because they are much better at separating that emotional realm. I sit in that emotional heart space a lot. So I think I could learn a lot, you know, again, to blend my own style in that. So maybe Marcus Aurelius in terms of that kind of space and that learning. Ooh, and a fourth person, I don't know. I think I'd probably take my best friend along, because I need to be able to unpack it with her afterwards and go through all these amazing, amazing conversations. She's somebody, yeah, like I said, has been there. We actually started out as 15-year-olds as checkout chick operators together. So that's how our friendship started. And yeah, so I would probably take her along for the ride with me.
Well, that sounds like a lovely meal. amazing individuals happening there as well. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
What is the most daring thing that you've ever done?
Starting my own business as a full-time business owner, leaving the education system after 20 years with 3 kids, I think.
Yeah, I think that's very daring. And it's worked out so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And backing myself, in that space. So moving out of a full-time salary on, I know teachers in America are paid quite poorly. Mm-hmm. Over in Australia, it's not, great, but it's definitely better. So I was on a six-figure salary when I left the department. And I walked away from a six-figure salary as a single mum with no additional financial support and full 100% care of my kids to back myself. So yeah, I think that would be my most daring thing I've ever done.
I would have to agree on that one. Because not many people can do it, but I'm so glad that you did, because it just shows how much you are changing the world for every client that you impact positively.
Thank you. Yeah. And showing them what's possible.
Yes, absolutely. Leading by example.
Yep.
And what is the phone app that you use the most?
Probably my calendar. I pretty much live and breathe and sleep that thing. But probably in terms of socials and stuff like that, LinkedIn. If I'm needing some downtime, Audible probably. In my book nerd status, I probably spend a fair bit of time on Audible. But if I'm needing some downtime, just a bit of Instagram scrolling. I actually share a lot of funny videos with my kids. That's one of our connection points of people doing crazy stuff, because my youngest one seriously probably would outdo them all. So I'm like, So looking at different things like that. So yeah, opportunities that help me. So I love the Audible because it helps me ground myself and I get that time to myself, and I do a bit of driving. So that's, a value add. But that Instagram, because I'm the mean mum, my kids don't have social. So sharing some of that stuff for them gives us some connection. Yeah.
Well, I think you're just, making sure the kids are safe. And so even if you're the mean mom, you're helping them stay safe.
Oh, well, look, in all fairness to them, every time that they ask me about social media, and my kids are 17, 15, and 8, so my older two don't have it. So, and the reason I did that is because every time they asked me, I just investigated some ridiculously horrific incident on social. So they've got bad timing on their part in terms of asking at the wrong time. But the other part of it too is we talked a lot about the fact that, school life is pretty tough to navigate. And, I actually find myself going down that black hole of social media a lot of the time as an adult with a fully formed brain whose executive functioning skills are supposed to be fully intact and being able to stop and start when I need. And I find it difficult. So if you are, not having that, and they're good, they're great kids, they do well in school and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because they've actually never really bothered with it. And so we haven't had to navigate those same dramas that so many young people I know navigate. I don't have the issues with the not going to sleep till 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't have the issues with the online bullying. I don't have the issues with all of that kind of stuff. And my kids are really robust. They get, access to things. They're not completely deprived, but, they have really intelligent opinions about different things. And I think because they haven't had to have that add on, that pressure that social creates for our young people, I feel like that's actually been a benefit, when they can do it in their own time when they're old enough and go from there.
Yeah. That was a good explanation. Good parenting skills.
Thank you.
Take a note. Not a parent yet, but
I've got three if you need to borrow. Yeah.
Perfect. Send them over to Denver.
Yeah, no problems.
My boyfriend and I will have a great time.
They're very hilarious. They're very entertaining, if nothing else. So they'll probably amuse you no end.
So I know we were talking about Audible, but what is the last book that you've read or listened to?
Oh, so I'm currently revisiting Principles by Ray Dalio.
Oh.
Yeah. So I love that. I've got everything Brené Brown. I was actually just talking about Ego is the Enemy and The Obstacle is the Way, Brian Holiday. So look, I'm very eclectic. I have so many different things going on, but Ray Dalio is a great person because just, and it's so funny because I like to read a lot of different variety of different things, but it's really interesting how there's some really common themes in the messaging. And so it's quite reinforcing and validating for me. Untamed was a book that really just blew my mind, and I love so many different books, but Ray Dalio Principles at the moment.
Yes, no, that is a fantastic book. I just reread it not too long ago. It's a good one. So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I think somebody who can do, what's the name of that actor I was just watching? Do you know, I can't remember her actual name, Lauren Graham, I think. So Lorelai from the Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
Yeah. So as a single mum, even though I had three kids and she only had one, I always wanted to be that really cool mum. And again, showing that if you worked hard, you could create that, you know, life that you wanted, and that had that real grit. And she's got a real cool sense of humor, and I love that. And she's a bit funky and things like that. So whether or not I actually am funky and cool or just aspire to be, I think she would, I'd love her to do that.
She's a fantastic actor, but you were just, or actress, but you were saying too, your children are really funny, so I'm sure they get it from you as well. So, you know, so there's that
very lame sense of humor. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you have, I'm curious if you have a favorite family recipe, whether it's traditional or you just love making it together.
So lasagna is always a very big hit in our house, my lasagna that I make from scratch. So that's always a really big hit in our house. And it's winter over here in Australia. So I do love me a good brisket and like those pulled pork kind of things. So it's warm and comforting. And I'm very blessed that my kids are really great eaters. So they love their veggies and things like that. So so brisket and veg, mashed potato and all of that kind of stuff. So that's creamy nice. Mashed potato.
Oh, so delicious. Definitely want some of that right now. The mashed potatoes sound good. Mm-hmm. So if you were to be an animal, personality type, what animal would you be?
I think something along the cheetah, that fierce but gentle kind of, you know, those sleek but can be very fierce but also be very gentle and loving to the people in their inner circle, so in their tribe and in their, you know, that they have that role of caregiving in that space but can be fierce when they need to be, I guess.
I like it. I could see that. And so if you have a day off, you're not seeing clients, you can do whatever you want, what's your favorite way to spend your day off?
Oh, the beach. Easy. Which is not very good at the moment because it's cold and I'm a big baby. But even just sitting by the water gives me energy. And the last couple of years been doing a lot of focus on energy giving, and as opposed to energy draining. So noticing the environments that I find energy giving, and the beach and the water is absolutely that space for me.
It is very relaxing.
With a book.
Of course. I wouldn't expect anything else. And my last question is, what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
I think coaching has, in Australia particularly, so I think it's a bit more accepted in America as a model of practice. I think it's got a lot more trajectory and stuff like that. It's still, I believe, relatively new and unknown. So a lot of people will say to me, what is it that you actually do? And I don't think people really understand necessarily the courage it takes to actually show up and do the work. So I think they think it's probably a bit soft, and maybe, I don't know, what they've got an idea of, like, what are they going to coach me on? And I think sometimes they come along and they're like, whoa, okay, this is what it is. And they don't realize how much inward work that it's going to take to do that. And I often talk to my clients, you know, when they're having a particularly hard time, I actually say to them, you've actually got to be really proud of yourself, because not everyone can do this. This takes strength and it takes courage, and you're here doing the work. And even though it's hard, you're here and you're showing up. And I think that's probably really misunderstood about this industry, is the fact that this whole goal of this is to support you to find the answers that you already have in yourself, but need pulling out of to create the change that you want. And you actually have that power. So, yeah.
Yes, we do. And I mean, that's been the theme throughout too, is just empowering ourselves, but from within, and just having the tools and the guide, which you do. And thank you so much, Kylie, for coming on today and sharing all your wisdom and the golden nuggets that you left us. Where can we find you? How can people hire you? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know.
Yeah. So I have a Facebook page called Elements Number 4 Success, same on Insta. Also on LinkedIn, but I also have my personal Kylie Leota, K-Y-L-E-E-L-E-O-T-A on LinkedIn. You can find me there. You can send me a message, or you can email me at kylie@elementsnumber4success.com.au.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Kylie, again, for just everything you've shared with us today. Please comment, like, subscribe below. Make sure to, whatever you got from Kylie today, there were so many key elements that she left with us. So let us know below. I'm sure she would love to see too what you thought as well. But thank you again for joining us today and sharing everything you did.
Thank you so much for having me from the other side of the world and making this work. And I'm so pleased to be able to share my story, and hopefully it empowers somebody else in their journey.
I definitely think it has and will. With that being said, thank you everyone for joining, and we'll see you on the next video.